Hello and welcome to A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy, the podcast that examines conspiracy theory, conspiracy fact, and those who promote these theories. I'll be your host, Mike Bowler, as we take a look at conspiracy in the news for the week ending August 26th, 2018. And it's been a fun week. All I can say really is the ongoing stories with QAnon and Alex Jones being deplatformed, I guess is the proper term. And the really big story that I'm not necessarily going to delve in too deep, but there was a release of a grand jury investigation into the Catholic Church and its handling of priests who have molested children under their care. And that story, I've been trying to take some time to really go through the report that came out of the grand jury investigation. It's a very long document, just under 1,400 pages. And what has been presented in this document has been fairly significant. Unfortunately, having not gone completely through it, I'm not really prepared to talk too much other than the fact that this report implicates or at least brings to the public roughly 300 priests in six dioceses across Pennsylvania have been involved with various forms of sexual misconduct with underage members of the church. And I say it like that. I'm not using the word pedophile, or which technically that's what is being said about it. But certainly it isn't necessarily the best term for describing this entire document. It's really basically underage boys and girls had been molested by these priests, and roughly 1,000 victims of this particular within this investigation, because it's centered on Pennsylvania, and oddly enough, roughly about 2/3 of the state had been affected under this investigation. And I'm trying to really understand if this was, I mean, certainly this is a pedophiles who have these, because these are underage boys and girls, so we can't really call it like, if it was homosexual or there's nothing along that lines, but certainly the abuse by these priests with children under their charge, and it seems to range all across, sometimes within, basically these priests had full reign, whether it was within church grounds, outside of church grounds. These particular assaults or these attacks have occurred. What I'm trying to get a handle on is the actual conspiracy that allowed these priests to get away with what they did. Many of these cases dated back even as far as the 1940s, late 1940s, though most of them so far seem to be in the 60s, 70s, 80s, even into the 90s. So what effect this is going to have on the church seems to be of a mixed, there's certainly mixed opinions on what's going on here, which is kind of unnerving, because there are those who are defending the church and their actions hiding these priests. And like I said, I'm still looking at what the church did after these cases were brought to the attention of the various dioceses within Pennsylvania. Most of the time, it seems like these priests were just shuffled off to other parishes. And then, or later, when these acts occurred, they would send them to a psychologist, psychiatrist, something like that, for counseling. But these were counselors that were owned and operated by the Catholic Church. So they would give these priests a clean bill of health, send them off to another parish, when they would continue their activities. So I don't know exactly what the breadth and the width of this conspiracy is, but certainly higher members within those dioceses and the archdiocese were well aware of what was going on and decided to hide and conceal these activities of these priests. So that's the really big story from last week that I'm not necessarily going to go into any depth just yet. I still got to go through the report. I'm probably roughly about a third of the way into this document. It's kind of tough. It's tough for me to read because these are over and over again these events attributed to a particular priest, and over and over again it's the same story. Though the circumstances vary, but basically these priests had made unwanted sexual advances, made unwanted sexual contact, and then when the families discover this happening, then to add insult to injury, the church then swept it under a rug, basically. So, and each story is almost like that. You know, circumstances may be different, but the same things happen. So I'm trying to get through that to kind of get some idea what more of a generalized idea what happened and what's really going on there. And then the other two stories about Alex Jones and QAnon, mostly it is just a rehash of what I talked about last week, though Alex Jones is still being attacked and not really attacked. No. Alex Jones is losing more and more avenues to get his message out. He has since had to switch hosting companies, and apparently they're fine with posting his message. So you can find, if you do a, basically got to do a Google search, you'll find Alex Jones, and you'll find another video hosting company that is running his videos. So, and then the QAnon, I guess, now the mainstream media has taken to not only reporting about who QAnon is, what it is, and even the Comedy Central is starting to poke fun at the QAnon folks. So really, those are the big stories. And then there's just two little stories. There was a Flat Earth rally in Edmonton, Canada. Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. The Flat Earth International Conference. Again, not a lot to say about this. It was organized and run by Robbie Davidson behind the Flat Earth International Canada Conference. He's had speakers like Rick Hummer, Bob Nodal, Rob Skiba, Guy McKinnon, and it's the same standard. Though they did put this particular article pointed out that many of these are creationist Christians, and was heavily religious Bible literal type stuff that was being discussed during these various panels. Very few secular, although it was being promoted as a secular conference, there were only two atheists in the audience at this particular conference. So then there's the next article is why Russian trolls stoked U.S. vaccine debates. Again, we're now the interest now because of the Russian interference with the 2016 election and some revelations about other interferences by the Russians. Again, a lot of these stories have got researchers interested, and they seem to now have found Russian collusion in the creation of, or at least the perpetuation of, the vaccine debate. This has the Russian bot in this particular story, and it's kind of long, but the crux of it is that Russian bots and various trolls that had latched on to what the bots were doing had basically kind of worked both sides of the argument, pro and anti-vaccine, not necessarily to resolve or try to argue a a solution to this, but basically stir up interest, keep the interest going in the anti-vaccine debate, the pro and anti. I'm assuming, based on the article, that the Russian bots were probably attempting to keep, you know, the pro-vaxxers working and keeping them focused on their work in trying to promote vaccination. And that's pretty much what was in the news this past week. I have no news to from here. I've been kind of busy with work, and I'm still waiting to hear if I'm getting a temporary assignment that may take me away from the computer for a little while. So I'll certainly keep you posted on that. Nothing out of the ordinary. So I'd like to thank you for listening. This was episode 104, recorded August 26, 2018. Thank you for listening, and good night.